Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. We'd like to welcome you to Elevated Places, Ramadan Mubarak. For those of us who are practicing Ramadan, it's just the sun just went down around here, so we got to get a drink. But thank you so much for being on. You know, this is Elevated Places. This was the creation, is the creation of our sister, Dr. Minister Ava Muhammad. You really need to study this sister because she will help you to grow. As a matter of fact, we're going to carry on with one of her projects to make sure that you go to Minister Ava, that's MinisterAva.com, and see her presentations and her books. You know, the presentations are great, but her books are fantastic because it gives you a chance to really soak in and understand her mind as she helps us to understand the thinking of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So we thank you so much for tuning in, and our discussion tonight, our guest will be Brother Louis Ali. We called him the Separator. Because tonight we will be talking about food, survival, and separation. But before we get started full blast, we want to bring in the blast from the West Coast, our sister, one of the writers for the Final Call newspaper. She's going to give us the latest update within the news. So, Sister Charlene.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely. In the news from the Final Call newspaper, choose life and get to the right path. Ramadan 2023. This is the cover story wherein the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan delivered a message of warning, preparation, and guidance as Muslims around the world begin the observance of the Islamic sacred and holy month of prayer, fasting, community outreach, and reflection. Also, going into our national section, the Black press is not without its challenges, but is more vital now than ever. This by Nisa Islam Muhammad. She writes that the NNPA, the National Newspaper Publishers Association, recently hosted its annual Black Press Week. Publishers nationwide gathered to celebrate the importance of American Black-owned newspapers and media outlets. The week with NNPA President and CEO Benjamin F. Chavis Jr.'s message on the state of Black press at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. Dr. Chavis began by asking the sold-out luncheon audience to take out their phones and go to their app store, search for NNPA World News, and this is the first Black-owned global international app that aggregates not only the Black news in America, but the Black news in the Caribbean, the Black news in Brazil, Africa, Europe, Asia, and all over the world. Further in the news, Mind Wars and Fighting for the Proper Education of Black Children. This is by contributing writer Anissa Muhammad. She indicates that from the prohibition of learning during the transatlantic slave trade to poorly funded, segregated schools to the current erasure of black history in America's school system today, black people have never been allowed to learn in peace. Going throughout the story dealing with anti-blackness and hateful bigotry, she points out that a 15-year-old black honor roll student in South Carolina is suing her school district due to a November 2022 incident. Marissa Barnwell's failure to acknowledge and recite the Pledge of Allegiance resulted in her being reportedly assaulted by a teacher. The teenager was sent to the principal's office for further discipline. The lawsuit notes that she was the only student targeted out of several who were walking in the hallway and not reciting the pledge. There have been no consequences for the teacher, even after the teenager's mother called the school in tears. Wow. We move on to the black mental health workforce and a report examining the crisis and challenges facing them. There is a mental health crisis in black communities among black mental health professionals themselves. This according to the State of Black Mental Health Workforce Survey Report. I wrote this article myself and found out that the syndemic of COVID-19, racism, and economic oppression that came into focus in 2020 has heightened the crisis for black mental health professionals and the people they serve. The report was released earlier this year, and Lanye London, behavioral health specialist based in Los Angeles, who is also a project lead and report co-author, identified by definition a syndemic as an epidemic that includes two or more concurrent or back-to-back epidemics. For African Americans, she stated, our syndemic was the pandemic. Everybody goes into mental health crisis. You're a servant, boots on the ground. You're front line as a person, as a professional, but the people you serve look like you. More in the Final Call newspaper, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Louis Ali, Elevated Places. That's in the news for today. I'm Sister Charlene Muhammad. Peace and blessings, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Excuse me. Thank you so much for bringing that information. There's so much information, so many things to keep up with. It's hard to keep yourself focused, but you know, no matter what happens, we have to separate. No matter what happens, we have to separate. We got to have food, do something, and we got to survive, and we got to separate to do all of those, because we see right now, it is no benefit being integrated all up into, mixed up all into a people who are slated for death as we have been. So, you know, We thought we were safe to be around white people, but we look and they took the shots too. So we thank you for coming on, and we're going to bring in our brother, Brother Louis Ali. We called him the separator. Me and him, we talk a lot. He was with Minister Ava on those tours. I think they went to 12 different cities, talking town hall meetings on separation. And lo and behold, after that came the pandemic. And a lot of people knew what to do. They started moving down south. So is Brother Louis Ali online?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Oh, praise be to Allah. Walaikum salam.
Ramadan.
Yes, sir.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. Can you hear me?
I can hear you really good. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, but you probably need to get a look closer to the microphone. I mean, yeah, to the,
okay.
To the phone.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me better?
Yeah, much better. Much better.
Yes, sir.
So, my brother, I know you may be in the swamp there with your bulldozers and your cranes and stuff like that, because you are you lay out the infrastructure for people to build on top of, so you may be just coming out to digging on some work there. But we thank you coming out, because you have demonstrated productivity, independence, and getting a whole lot of other people involved in this process of separation and doing for self and economic development. So, Brother Louis, what have you been up to lately? What projects are you on now?
Well, I want to start out by telling all the Muslims Ramadan Mubarak again.
And, Ramadan Kareem.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we thank our God for coming in person, coming as a man and raising up a man, Honorable Elijah Muhammad, to be an example of a man full of the Spirit of God, and to make a man like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And for Minister Farrakhan giving us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program in such a magnificent and elevated way. And I'm grateful to Brother Darius and Sister Charlene, Sister Donna, Sister Rona, and yourself, Dr. Ridgely, and all those who help elevated places to stay high in the frequency zone, to raise our consciousness, and always keep in mind what Dr. Eva Muhammad said, we're the winners. So, you know, during Ramadan, we're reading the Holy Quran, and the Quran says that we are the best nation, for we enjoin good and we shun or forbid evil and indecency. And when I read that, I thought about Dr. Eva Muhammad and her always saying, we're the winners, Brother Lewis. We're the winners. So I always keep that in my mind in whatever I'm doing. The people who have helped me have the inspiration, the motivation, and Minister Farrakhan, the dedication to build and do something for self. See, really, we couldn't do nothing for self if we didn't see that man Farrakhan. It's very important because money alone can't save us, but God knows we need some money, and it's not that difficult, really. We can make some money in America if we follow the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his best representative, Minister Farrakhan. So, again, I'm grateful for being here. I'm currently working on several projects. In one of the areas that we're working, we are doing 100 acres where we're clearing out and paving the way for roads, because the whites are going to put 3,000 homes in a almost like a swamp area outside of Baton Rouge. It's so much of a economic impact until they're now charging the developers extra funds because it's making such an impact on the current sewer system that they have, which they updated in 2016. So, you know, I work in the dirt. And I really believe that the same story that you see in the stars in the skies, you see in the dirt. If we just turn the dirt over, get in close proximity to one another, and work in a collective manner, we can do anything we want to do. Nobody can stop us because God said that he was going to put us on top.
That's right. And so, you know, our topic is food, productivity, survival, and separation. And, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that business is life, and life is business. You have to be producing something, and then you can trade what you produce with others so you can get the things that you need. You know, one thing Minister Ava, when she was over the southern region, she promoted, and now it's time for us to do it, that each to produce, specialize in something, and then we can trade with each other.
That's right,
Brother Lewis. You know, all through the South, people should be doing the type of building like those whites are doing with that 3,000 homes, so that you can bring you in and your crew into work. But you can't work and not do anything. In other words, you can't move all that equipment to a place that just to talk to people. Somebody has to have a plan. Somebody has already been making a move, and then you can help them. Well, it's the same thing with us with the farm. we realized that we just couldn't sit here and grow food and then try to drive all across the country delivering fresh produce. We said that just wasn't going to work. We couldn't get to all the cities. But now with the Staple Goods Project that we are right in the middle of, by the way, NOIMOA.org, and get involved with the Staple Goods Project. We're going to talk about that that more tonight. But we had to add products to the products that we were producing at the farm just so we can get it shipped economically. It's about logistics.
That's right.
You know, so I know you, Brother Lewis, and your cousin, y'all just did a big thing that the New Black Wall Street up in Atlanta, and it was great. I went up there at the grand opening, and it's just so many people moving into the Atlanta area in the Georgia period. I'm sure you're seeing the same thing down there in Baton Rouge. Our people are moving. Coming back home.
Absolutely.
You can read something similar right there in Baton Rouge, some type of Black Wall Street, Baton Rouge, right?
Yes, sir. And the people are, let me back up just a little bit, because you raised such an incredible point with Dr. Ava Muhammad saying we should make a product. Brother Abdul Rahman wrote a book called I Walk with the Great Ones. And I remember reading in the book that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Muslims in New York, they didn't know how to make a steak and take in Georgia. So Minister Farrakhan, because he's not an envier, he's a lover, he allowed Brother Rahman to send one of their brothers up to New York. And Minister Farrakhan's people taught him the steak and take business from top to bottom. Now, they didn't go right across the street and open up a steak and take in competition to Minister Farrakhan. They went to Georgia, and they started opening up steak and takes. And they were very successful. And Brother Rahman went to a brother who was baking bread for the white man, and asked him, how much does he make baking bread for the white man? And the brother told him, said, well, you bake it for us? He said, yeah. And so the Muslims recruited. The Muslims are productive. They're men. You know, men are electric. Women are magnetic. And we create motion. We make things move. That's what Minister Farrakhan does, and he's making us like him. And so the thing about it is that you learn. Learning is contagious. They define learning psychologists as a relatively permanent change in behavior due to an experience. So it's important that we get the experience. When Minister Farrakhan was in the Caribbean, I think it's on one of those, he talked to the Mennonites, and he asked them how far did they go in school. He said the average one went to the eighth grade in school. But they're incredible farmers, and they produce, I want to say, about 40 to 50% of the food in the throughout the Caribbean, to Bill Allen. He taught us that when you learn how to do something, you do it small one time, and then the next time you increase the exact thing a little bit more, and then you increase it a little more, you keep revolutionizing whatever it is you're good at until you perfect it and build it into a system. So the New Black Wall Street in Georgia is a model of a system of interconnected businesses that are interdependent on one another in a proximity to where you can't go to black businesses if they're scattered out 10 or 15 miles from each other. You have to have a beachhead and something that the community can circumvent around. And if you go to and study different white communities, some of the communities, everybody over there produces watermelons. Some of them, you go farther down the line, everybody's got peaches coming up out of Florida. You go farther down into Mississippi, everybody in Mississippi knows something about timber or lumber, because learning is contagious. What the enemy has done
He's flipped the culture by putting so much filth and indecency in the culture until if you don't separate yourself from it, you absolutely become part of it. So to make a long story short, the Muslims have to begin to move in close proximity to one another and learn from one another. I grew up with young black boys, ages seven to about 17 years old, and they're learning the skill trades so that we can do something for ourselves.
Well, you know, many people say, well, which eight states we want to go to, you know, but you know, the minister, he also gave us another. He said that when you get a mosque, no matter where you are, you get your mosque, you buy a building. And you buy a building.
That's right.
And then you buy up all the homes around there, or you build homes around the mosque until you make a community. Now, once you
make a
community where people are in close proximity, then they can, you know, easily get to the mosque, but they can also get to the school at the mosque. And if you set up a restaurant or you set up any type of business, if people are in close proximity, they can serve. They can be served by that business. But when you have, I did a little research project in the Nation of Islam, and found out that only about a third of the people who were in any mosque or study group actually lived close to the mosque or temple, or they lived in suburbs. You know, maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 miles away. Now, you can't have a sustain a business, but when your market, your people are 20, 30, 40 miles away, but if everybody's in close proximity to the mosque, then you can actually develop community. And once you develop community, you have stores, you have restaurants, and you can set a bank, a community bank. But it's, you can't set up a bank today and then your people, your customers all across the country. You have to have some type of base to get started. So again, the idea about coming in proximity, getting closer, you know, in segregation. You know, I told you about this book, Brother Lewis, that we were reading about the history of black banks. And we set up banks in the communities that we set up, but we set the communities up first. And we had to set the communities up because guess what? We were segregated. They didn't want us around them. Matter of fact, they didn't even want to sell to us. We had to do everything for ourselves. And
that's right.
But we did, and we became prosperous. To 45 years after slavery, we bought 16 million acres of land. People say we have 60 towns. In this book on the banking, it said that we had 60 towns in Oklahoma by itself in one state.
That's right. That's right.
You know, we were really developing a nation within a nation, and then they came and they wiped us out. But this time when we do it, we got a plane. We didn't have the plane back then, the wheels. Okay?
That's right.
So we didn't have protection. But this time we're going to have protection. So, but Brother Lewis, I'm talking a lot. You, what else you'd like to talk about? I got some brothers, Brother Kareem and Brother Gerald from the Ministry of Agriculture. They're going to come in a few minutes to ask you some questions and talk to you.
The Muslims, we have our supreme wisdom, and it raises a question that we need to keep on our mind, especially during Ramadan. And it goes like, will you sit at home and wait for a mystery God to bring you food?
Hmm.
And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he answers emphatically no. Me and my people have been lost from home for over 379 years at that time, and have tried that so-called mystery God for bread and clothing and a home, and received nothing but hard times and hunger and nakedness and outdoors. We've also been beat and killed by the very ones who have advocated that kind of God and no relief has come to us since the Son of Man has come, Master Farouk Muhammad. See, really, our greatest sin is idleness. In fact, I believe that idleness is the original sin in a universe that first law is motion. When you're idle, it's real easy for you to make an idol god or become an idol worshiper or worship some entertainer or rapper or something like that, because you're not doing much or nothing. But if we got together and really started pushing, not believing in a mystery god and doing for self, our IQ during the time of so-called segregation, without PhD degrees, we black men, with the support of our women and our children, built Black Wall Street across this country. We were the fastest growing economy, according to Mr. Sinclair Weeks from the U.S. Chamber, Secretary of Chamber, U.S. Commerce, rather. He said we were the fastest growing economy in the world. And look at the Morning Hand report, what he said. He, on New Year's Eve, 1964, Morning Hand, Daniel Morning Hand, had all of his people come into his office, and he wanted to do a report on the Negro family. And that report came out in March of 1965. At the core of the report, what he was talking about was how the black family was destroyed, decimated. Mm. We can't make our communities safe and decent places to live without restoring the black family. And that's why I said men have to be electric, or they should be, working, producing, providing, and women have to be magnetic, helping us store and redistribute what we're doing so we can do it again and again and make it bigger and make it more systematic.
But
in close proximity to one another will allow our families to become functional again, because the Muslims are the best examples of families. And we have a great example of a family man, a God-full father in Minister Farrakhan.
Brother Lewis.
Yes, sir.
You know, we walked with our friends, the Jews, across Pettus Bridge. Edmund Pettus Bridge, we shall overcome, holding hands so that we could integrate.
Oh, my God.
So now we talk about separation. So are we going to lose all the benefits that we got from integration? About what benefits did we get from integration, Brother Lewis?
Oh, my God. You know, one of the things I always say is that we must repent and atone to Mr. Muhammad, pool our resources together, and make our own communities a safe and decent place to live. Now, I know some people get upset when I talk about this, but I just got to say it. In Tennessee, just a few days ago, a transgender went into a school and shot and killed 6 or 7 people. Did you see that, Dr. Ridgely?
No, sir.
Well, it happens so often, but it's all over the news.
Mm.
I said in 2007 that we were under a militant homophile assault. The government of the United States of America, the same government that put crack cocaine in the black community, is now socially engineering, especially our young people, into a type of filth and indecency that would make us unacceptable by the God that came to save us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad wanted to get us away from this filthy and indecent culture. If you read in the book, the seven speeches by Minister Farrakhan. He talks about in 1959 a great barrage of propaganda against the Nation of Islam, calling us hateful and all of this other stuff, and how the government was trying to demagnetize the Muslims so that black people would not separate and build a nation on their own, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. During that same time that they were putting that propaganda out in 1959, they were putting the Playboy Mansion in Chicago and inviting our top black artists and entertainers, including Mr. Bill Cosby, over to the Playboy Mansion, where integration really had a strong hold. And they brought that filth and indecency out of the Playboy Mansion into the houses of the American public, but particularly black people. At the time, in the 50s, we were called soul brothers. And if anybody wanted to go and find out where the most decent and morally correct people were, where was the compass of morality at, you found it among the soul brothers and the soul sisters. That's where you found the most morality and decency. But today, when they have flipped it like Esau and Jacob, the small hats, the so-called Jews, the ones that our father, Minister Farrakhan, has been kicking their behind, are trying to switch positions with us like Esau and Jacob did in the Bible and put us as the face of filth and indecency, especially black women today. They are destroying the image of black women and making black women look like the kind of woman that nobody would want or be interested in. And they're doing this before the world. And that's why Mr. President wouldn't call any decent women out as spokespersons for black women in black America. He called out Meg Thee Stallion. He called out Cardi B. And see, what they're doing is, when you look at our image, which Minister Farrakhan talked about the image of black people and what they're doing to our image, they've destroyed the black man's image and made us all look like we're a bunch of sick degenerates. And so that's who Minister Farrakhan is trying to save it, because it's very important, because image fuels imagination and imagination fuels vision. And the scriptures teach, without vision, the people are perishing. God did not come in person and raise up the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to integrate us into the hell with the very people who have destroyed us. The more we watch the filth and indecency, the more we become just like it. That's why I said at the beginning, you can only be the best nation when you enjoy good, forbid, shun, or fight evil and indecency. There is no neutrality to that.
Brother Lewis, you're a little younger than me, but I remember, even though I lived in the projects in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, we didn't lock our doors.
That's right.
We didn't lock our doors. And it was when they brought in crack cocaine into our community that people started robbing one another, started killing one another. We were at peace. We were poor. But we were at peace. But they came in and destroyed our community with drugs, alcohol, they came with this welfare, and you couldn't get it if you had the man in the house. In other words,
that's right.
If you had your baby daddy in the house, y'all weren't married, you couldn't get the welfare, so you had to kick him out. Okay?
That's right.
There was engineering a way to destroy the family. The family,
that's right,
is an institution that you pass down inheritance or businesses. But if you don't have family, you don't have the structure which wealth
That's
can
right.
pass down to the next generation, and also by which you can build. And when you talk about the Mennonites,
yes, sir.
You know, and the Amish. I know the Amish, the son, the boys, have to stay with the father until they get 21. They have
That's
to
right.
be with the father to learn the business and to help him build a business until they get 21. And then if they want to go off, buy them another farm or do another business, they can do that, but they have to be with the father. Whereas with the with
That's
the black
right.
man and woman, they take the child away from each other. They take us away from the child, the whole process by which wealth can be developed. It's very scientific.
That's right.
What they
That's right.
I know you are training your son in your business. And this is the way the natural process has always been. The father, the mother teach the children. They show the children
That's right.
how to maneuver and build and grow in their society. But even though, you know, we set up public schools when we came out of slavery because we wanted to teach ourselves, but now they're taking public school to the point that it's taking the children away from the parents, and so that when you come out of school, you go to college, and you never come back home again except for a funeral. You're lost to that community. Okay?
If a bee don't produce honey, what good is the bee? A cow don't produce milk, what good is the cow? If a chicken can't lay eggs, what good is the chicken? They're going
That's right.
to school bragging about an education and can't produce jack, don't own nothing. You know,
That's
this
right.
thing here is so sick. I'm very passionate about little black boys because I see what they're trying to do to our sons. And a lot of it is, as brothers, we don't take charge of these little boys the way we really should be taking charge of them. And they don't have to be your biological
right.
son for you to take care of them and to teach them and to train them how to be a productive man and survive.
Right.
In racist white America. Did you know that at one time, I know you know this, Dr. Richard, but I'm saying it more for the listening audience, we were the finest and best skilled tradesmen throughout the world?
That's right.
This is very important for the self-esteem of little black boys. See, ever since I was a little boy, my family, I was in infrastructure. When I was 13 years old, I was driving a, can only say, with my father. When I was 13 years old, I was pulling out diesel engines and working on diesel engines and pulling out rear ends with my father. And he was doing
Come
it
on.
With his father before he was murdered. This whole notion of some person teaching our women that they don't need a man. Well, that's exactly what you need, and that's exactly what we need. As a people, we need a man to figure out what a man is. Black males need a man to see what a man really is. And we got one like that in Minister Farrakhan. The whole world of evil came against that one man, and he's still standing and teaching. If Farrakhan can eat with all the enemies he has, Dr. Reason, we can eat. The devil can't stop us from eating. Did you hear? A brother called me telling me about the economy and how bad and all of this and this and that. It really sounded quite horrible. I told him, I said, God didn't come in person to destroy us. He came to lift us up. You don't see the crickets in the woods worried about the white man's economy. You don't
come on.
The birds worried about the white man's economy. Nothing in nature is worried about the white man's economy except for the Negro because he's dysfunctional. And at the base of his dysfunctionality is our family structures. If we organize the family is a business. Marriage is a busyness together where you have electrical energy and magnetic energy working to produce a force to produce products. It certainly ain't about this stuff with every other show showing some foolishness. That's not a marriage. That's not a family.
What we want to do, we want to remind the people that they can call in to talk to Brother Louis Ali at 563-999-3065. That's 563-999-3065. And if you want to get into the queue, hit the number one. Hit the number one so you can get into the queue. So in a few minutes, we'll open the line up to the general public. But right now, I have, I think it's Brother Kareem, get on. Kareem, are you there?
Yes, sir. It's Ramadan Kareem. Ramadan
Kareem. The reason I brought Brother Kareem in, Brother Lewis, he just, in our conference on Tuesday night, Minister of Agriculture conference call, he mentioned about that storm that went through Mississippi and how it destroyed this town. And give a little bit about history about that town, Brother Kareem. But then he has an idea. See, this is an idea what we can do in that type of situation, how we can benefit, how we can bring some benefit to that type of situation. So, Brother Kareem, he's from Greenville, Mississippi. So, Brother Kareem, could you talk to us a little bit what you were talking to us about Tuesday night?
Absolutely. Praise be to Allah. I have just really, truly enjoyed the show up until now. Salaam alaikum, Brother Ali. Praise be to Allah. Good hearing from you. And definitely to drink from your well and the wealth of knowledge that you have to share. I want to also definitely give a shout out to our sister, Dr. Student Minister Ava Muhammad, who cheers and thoughts that we are sitting behind, because this was her baby that we are continuing on and shoulders that we are standing on. And of course, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, who we know Sister Ava would not do anything without the okay and acceptance of the Honorable Minister Farrakhan.
That's
right. So I just wanted to say that. But definitely, y'all have said so much, but I first want to say that our hearts and prayers go out to all of those families who lost lives, families who lost loved ones to this devastating, catastrophic tornado that we just experienced. We also want to send our hearts out to those survivors that are still picking up the pieces of their lives from what they have experienced, as well as those first responders that were boots on the ground at the beginning to do what we could to relieve some of the mitigation of the suffering that we saw once we got down on the ground. And, of course, those first 48 hours, always the most critical ones of any disaster of this magnitude. And it was a great magnitude of disaster that we're talking about. You're talking about when we talk about Rolling Fork itself, but Silver City and the surrounding areas, you're talking about a tornado that stayed on the ground for close to 50 minutes and traveled at least 59 miles, causing havoc all within its path. You're talking about two twin tornadoes, one from the east and one from the west, one from the east and one from the north, side by side coming through, just tearing up everything in its path. You're talking about cities such as Rolling Fork, that is a population of over 1,800, with over 97% of the population is being black. And with that, over 87% of the city being totally destroyed. This is what we're looking at, along with the other areas that was devastated as well. And we're talking about over 30 lost lives within this path of this destruction that we are dealing with, and it's just beginning to talk about the recovery effort. And so it is devastating in regard to that. But based on what we are facing now, we're looking at what do we do from here. We've been on the conference call with the NAACP and other organizations and agencies trying to identify, well, what help is there out there for those that have survived this devastation. Of course, we know that FEMA and the federal government has declared it a national disaster. And the governor of Mississippi had, prior to that, declared it a state disaster. But again, and everyone is talking about what the federal going to do, what the state is going to do. And we hear that and we understand that. But we just got off the phone with one of the families that lived in most of these areas that was affected was rural areas. And our people stayed out there in the rural areas. And we just got off the phone with the NAACP, a conference with one woman, sister, that came on. That family lived in a rural area on a land, and it was over 7 families that she said that was affected by this. And 99% of their homes were destroyed. And over 3 family and loved ones was lost. And so it's devastating. And then she kept asking. We know that we had talked to the congressman, and he said there's going to be some relief coming. And we even know that there's people coming around and giving us supplies and food. And we appreciate all of that. But we want to know about what's coming tomorrow and how and what it's going to look like for us to get our community back. And I reflect back, family, on our pioneers in the 1800s. And this was before Master Farah Muhammad was given to us in 1877. When our communities, as you said, Brother Ali, began to build their own towns. And the question we got to ask, why did they build those own towns? Well, what made them do that? Because after the Civil War, black people wanted to be a part of white America because they believed in that white American flag. But when they began to realize after 1866, when the black coal started coming down, when they start creating these laws, the whipping a pole and all of that to bring black people back to slavery, black people begin to realize that I need to make another move as opposed to this. And so they began to, when you look at Henry Adams and Henry Highland Garnett and others that diligently talked about separation and getting the hell up away from this country. And they start looking at places like immigration as well as migration. And the immigration that they were looking at was places like Liberia. But those were Europeans that had came up with that plan because they didn't want us to be a part of this country. And they came up with a plan of how to get rid of those so-called free Negroes. And so they wanted to get them out of this country. But they start looking at other cities because Kansas was one of the cities, states, that people start hearing that there was a lot of land that was open, and they were opening it up to anybody because they were doing those land grants. And so we thought that they meant us too. But when we look at the history, Kansas State didn't want us neither. And then we started looking at Oklahoma and starting when Ida B. Wells, after what happened with Ida B. Wells with the family in 1892, Ida B. Wells began to put out on her paper to everybody to get up and get the world up out of this place and start moving to Oklahoma. And so with that, the government finally decided that they would go into Oklahoma, and they decided that how they was going to deal with the natives that they had just planted over there. They told the Seminoles, which was the only one that was not had not had us in slavery, that they would begin to have to give up land to black people because they said that they was going to punish the natives because they had those that had came over with the Confederate, but they did not punish the white people that were with the Confederate. They didn't take no land from them. Matter of fact, they took the land back from black people and gave it back to the Confederates, but they took the land from the natives up there, and some of the Seminoles and others gave the land to black people. And so we was able to go up in Oklahoma and begin to set up our own lands. But why? Was because of what was going on in this country and how they was treating us. But my point is that, and so our people, they went through a tornado. They went through a disaster during that period too. But the disaster was white racism. The disaster was the redeemers, the white redeemers, the white red caps that came throughout the South to redeem the South, as they called it. And as we built schools and we built churches, they burnt them down. But our family took our nickels and dimes, and we rebuilt those schools and those churches. And so we have to ask and study our pioneers and find how they did that. And this is what we are faced with today, is how do we go back and rebuild? I want to make this other scenario, and then I'll turn over. I remember the Hasbunah during the time of the 2010 war over in Lebanon with the Palestinian and the Jews in Israel, and they went over and bombed Lebanon and Syria, fighting against the Hasbunah. But after the bombing was over with, what Hasbunah and them did was they came back and rebuilt all those homes back up for their people so that their people would support their position. Because if they had not have done that, and the Israel had have came in there and rebuilt it, they would have supported their enemy. And so that's what we are faced with today and what we're looking at here. It's devastating down here. So how then do we take and begin to build for our community? If we want our people to support what we're doing, the Honorable Ms. Farrakhan said Master Farrakhan Muhammad came to fulfill our needs, that when he fulfilled our needs, that our sins will be going away. So we have to begin to fulfill our people's needs if we want to support our people. We're looking for our people to do something for themselves. They have nothing to do for themselves. We're looking for the government to do something for them. When we are trained to pull our nickels and dimes together to do something. So what are the LLC and what about plans? It may look devastating to say you've got a large amount of people and a large amount of land that you have to build, but we are going to take one family at a time, and we're going to pull our resources together and build one home at a time and then the next home. And that way we will begin to see a project that is feasible to us. The second thing, Brother Dr. Ridley, talked about, well, how, what economically can we do? We want to come down there and begin to build factories. What are the needs that we need? We need laundry detergent. We need dishwashing liquid. So we need to start having manufacturers that we can make our own laundry detergent, our own dishwashing liquid, and create manufacturers down here that now we can begin to create jobs for our own people. Those are some of the projects that we are working on. I just wanted to put that out there briefly and leave it open for others. Thank you, Dr. Ridley, for that opportunity. And again, anyone that wants to support our efforts down there, please give us a call at 662-577-1258. Or our cash app is $LOC3SOS. That's $LO33SOS. Thank you, Dr. Ridley.
All right. What's that phone number again?
662-577-1258.
Okay, thank you. There's two, you see the two things that he's talking about, very important, building one, helping to build one house, home at a time. And number two, those of us who are producing things, you know, you might want to look into moving your factory. I mean, look into it. You just can't move. Look into set up another branch of your factory or moving your factory or your business to that area, and then hiring the people because, you know, communities develop around some type of industry, some type of industry. If you have a lot of farmers, then you have some processing like for cotton gins and textile mills. We did this. We set up our own textile mills, and they burned us down. So, but we can do it again. But now we have to have a plan. We have to have sit down and develop strategies. I'm talking about you, Brother Lewis, and Brother Kareem, and others. That's just what are the steps to separation? Do first. Who is producing what where? In the Ministry of Agriculture and Staple Goods Project, we have 12 different products that's in the staple goods that are produced by Muslims. So we are practicing this, working together, helping one another, giving a market for those small producers to grow into large producers. We're looking for other of people who are producing, Muslims who are producing products that we can ship through the Staple Goods Project. But you can do your own thing. But, you know, it's difficult to set up a business, and you're trying to do business across the country. You got to develop type of businesses where you can sell your products or services locally, control the community that you live in. And that means you're going to have to teach them. You have to grow them into understanding the importance of spending money with your own. Because the enemy, he blew up. If the people had followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, when we were in our segregated communities, we had our own businesses. We had our own clothing stores. We had many things for ourselves. If we had got together and united those segregated communities into an umbrella of trade and commerce, then we could have had a separate state, a separate nation within a nation. Okay? If that's why they had to come hard against us in 1959, because they saw the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was going to take advantage of the segregated communities and turn those into living cells for a separate state, separatist state. In other words, a nation within a nation. So we lost that opportunity of falling for integration. But now we got to sit down, look at that model that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad set up for us. And the Minister Farrakhan is demonstrated right there in New York City. I used to go there all the time to Steak and Take. I used to get the bean pies, go to the restaurant. I mean, he had it going on. He had all type of schools. So we have models, but we got to make up our minds. You know, COVID-19 burnt a lot of us out, and we had to get up out of there. You know, so now we got to get organized with those who have decided to leave, and let's work together and let's help expand each other's development. So, Brother Lewis, before we open up to the calls, you want to comment on what Brother Kareem just brought forward? Or any other comment that you might have?
Well, Elijah Muhammad, when Minister Farrakhan summons her to Chicago and dispatched her and had her going around with these town hall meetings, it was so important because that's really what motivated black people to buy so much land over the past years. And it's gradually happening right now to where you don't have to convince the average black person anymore that integration was a failure. Mm. We now are moving to the point number five, which is the atonement, the actual doing something. And when I say that, I mean it in terms of intentional communities, moving with intention and purpose. See, after the Civil War, Brother Kareem brought up the Civil War and black people building all these towns after the Civil War, but they were all intentional. Everybody wanted to be together. And by the way, they didn't go to a bank and tell them their FICO score so that they could get a loan to do it. They put their resources together.
That's right.
They bordered together. They learned from one another, and they built communities. See, when you're real arrogant, you might think that somebody who doesn't have what they call higher learning can't teach you anything. But that arrogance is something that we have to destroy and use humility to learn something, you know? I'll bring it up later, but I'll stop there for now.
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah.
Okay, Sister Rona, is anybody on the line?
Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam. It's Brother Dara.
Yes, sir. Ramadan Rabari. Happy Savior's Day. And long live the spirit of our beloved Sister Ava. Brother Lewis and Brother just spoke about
Kareem. Yes.
Kareem, I'm like and beloved. And I really enjoy what you're saying. I have that same thought. We can't build 15 houses at one time, but we can start off one house at a time. We land, like I have land here. Unfortunately, we are, you know, like Brother Lewis said a while back, our people are lazy. It's sad to say, even in the nation, not putting our family down, but the minister already opened the door. His job was to do like the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is deliver a message. But he came and did the same thing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad did. He opened up. He got money from Brother, may Allah be pleased with Brother Gaddafi. He borrowed money, tax-free. He opened up the product, clean the fresh products. We start off real good, then we get back slack again. That's been over. I've been here in Florida 21 or 21 years. If we would have pushed the products and did what we supposed to, jobs was there. The final call, jobs is there. But when Brother saying that we could do one house at a time, I would love to come to where Brother Ridley is staying there. I would like to go where our family is, like so they was doing the town hall meeting, and that's another question. How is that going to go in getting property or whatever we need to do in collecting our people? Now, here it is. I heard what Brother Lewis was saying about this gender, whatever this person was, a boy trying to be a girl, vice versa, went in and shot up the three babies and three adults. That would have never happened in our school. We need to separate as soon as possible, get our babies out of there in harm's way. And here it is. I don't know if you heard about it, Brother Lewis, because I know you be pretty much on phone everything. Black family bought 1,000 acres, I think it was in Colorado, and they was what you call racist against them. They end up going to jail, and they had to be buying. I think Sister was speaking about that on the Final Call News, but it said that we can't come together and really pull our resources. Here I am. I lost my sight 10 years ago doing a bad doctor. Like they call it the dirty South Florida. It's really, I love it here, but it's not together. We got believers here. I got 2.5 acres. I asked them when I first moved here, I got 2.5 acres. That's, you know, I don't want to be cutting grass all the time and doing all that. Let's use 2 of the acres to grow food. Nobody wants to do nothing. Everybody seems like they for themselves, and we're supposed to be coming together as one with these teachers. So my question is, what is it that we could do? I left my number, and maybe Brother originally could get it from the sister, because I did come to the farm about 5 years ago. We bought watermelons and stuff back. But we need to pull our resources. I want to be around our people. I want to be around the believers. But when we are stagnated and not doing nothing where we are right here at Mars 98, I'm just putting it out there, they're not really pulling together with one another. When some brothers have land, some brothers have moved and went to Texas because they're not doing nothing. So what is the solution that we could do for ourselves when we're trying to come further south, like where Brother Ridge did, whatever, so we could do something? What is the solution that we could come together and do something? I have something to work with, but I need help.
Praise be to Allah. If I may, Brother Ali.
Brother Ali, if I may respond.
Go
ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yes, go ahead, brother. Yes, sir. Beloved, I'm blind as well. I've been in the nation for 50 years, but I'm blind as well. But we brought Dr. Ridley down here. I'm going to talk about Dr. Ridley. I'm going to talk about Sister Ava as well. We brought Dr. Ridley down here twice in Greenville, Mississippi. There was no way that I would have allowed Dr. Ridley to come down here twice. And that set up a program, initiatives, around the staple goods, around agriculture. And when he left here, now here 5 years later, he asking us what we're doing. I tell him the same thing that we was doing when we left. But what I can tell you we are doing from the initiative that we came out of that was we identified some of the initiative from agriculture, which was that we recognized that our skill of farming was dying out because the majority of farmers was over the age of 70. So we came up with a program called Passing the Torch of how to get young people. So we got young brothers and sisters now in agriculture schools. That was one of the initiatives. The other initiative that we came out of, we talking about how do we get products of value-added products from the land into the people's homes. So we start coming up with projects as to how to do that. Now here we have what is called Project Powers. We have over 5 distributors throughout the South and Southwest, Little Rock, Arkansas, Monroe, Louisiana, Jackson, Mississippi, where we have the Eating Fresh products, we have the Power products, we have laundry detergent, dishwasher liquid, and there's in all of those cities that we are distributing there. And we just started, but these all came in from the leadership of Brother and Dr. Wrigley. And then when you talk about Sister Ava came on the circuit and talked about separation. And so from that, we had the LOC had her on 2 town hall meetings that we was blessed to be a part of. And her initiative for us was to begin to talk about state rights and how to take over our state. So now we're working here in Mississippi, and we're going to come back in 2024 and shut this state down because black people are nostalgic. They love tradition. And so we're going to come in and do from the 1964 Freedom Summer, we're going to do 60 years. We're going to come out and set this state down, and we're going to run our own candidates to let them see that Mississippi is the most vulnerable state that we have. They only have 3 million and 1.4 of those are black folks, and we can take this state if we come collectively together. So we got to do like the Honorable Elijah said, is that don't ask what needs to be done. Get up and do it. I'm like you, brother. I don't see a lot of stuff being done. But, hey, the messenger say, don't ask what needs to be done. Get up and do it. Now, if it's something that you're passionate about, Allah will give you the tools to do it. I came down here in 05 as a disaster coordinator for Katrina. Allah gave me a wife, and I ain't left since.
Crazy.
Well, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, brother.
Well, brother Pete hit then.
That's the scripture. And I told you,
and
marriage is a business.
Praise be to Allah. And I'm sitting here.
Brother Lewis, you want to say something?
I want to chime in because we got to remember that the Quran asks the question, is the earth not spacious enough for us? And Dr. Ava Muhammad said, we're the winners. I don't waste time with people who don't want to do anything.
That's right.
People who are doing something. And so when me and Dr. Risley get together, or me and Dr. Sister Ava, we always on a mission. And we always approach that mission believing that we're going to lose. Now, we worked on last summer to create an ATV park next to the Baton Rouge Zoo, and it has become a great tourist attraction. I didn't have adult men working with me. I had all young boys, what they would classify as boys, but they're fierce. They operated the bulldozers. At one point, we couldn't use the bulldozers because it was a swamp. We cut with power saws, and we worked. And now there's an ATV path, and people been coming from all around the country. And it's making a very positive impact, economic impact, as well as tourist impact in North Baton Rouge. Master Farad Muhammad came in person.
Could you explain exactly what that is, brother? Some people may not have caught that. What exactly is an ATV park?
It's an ATV park, all-terrain vehicles, four-wheelers, side-by-sides ride on the path. And people love to ride four-wheelers. It's an urban park because a lot of our little young brothers were riding them on the streets, and police officers were stopping them. And, well, it could be very dangerous riding these ATVs on the street. Some of them even rode them across the Mississippi River Bridge. That's how wild it was. So we created a 35-and-a-half-acre ATV. We put a porch, and these young boys built it. We coached them mostly. But the labor, they done it. Why did I make those boys work that hard? Because learning is a relatively permanent change in behavior due to an experience. Black boys have to be baptized in the fire of the experience, not just in boiling books or lukewarm theories, but in the actual experience of building something. And it makes them proud and makes them want to take care of it. So they built a porch last stage. Dr. Ava Muhammad was going to come there. That was our last conversation. She was going to come there And I'm going to put under there the stage slash porch, She Lives. The reason why I'm putting She Lives is in memory of Dr. Eva Muhammad, but the memory of the voices of black women. Black women's voices were the inspirational voices that inspired us to build black women's freedom. I guarantee they inspired us to build the pyramids. We got to get back to building things together and collectively, and then systemize it. If you get 5 or 10 black boys and pay them a little something, because they ain't doing nothing but on the street,
right.
Grab them and bring them to the farm. During the summers, we were planning to have fact-finding missions. Me and Dr. Avery, we talked about this. When you send people to the farm, let those young boys go to the farm to learn about farming. And that means they're going to have to be baptized in the fire of the experience of working to learn how to farm for a few weeks. Then send another group. Come on down to Louisiana to the swamp. And let's start building some things down here. And then take the skills that you did not pay for because you wasn't in a traditional trade school and monetize your skill in the city. And then take the money that you make in the city where you make more money in the city and send it back to the South where you can get more kick for your buck in terms of land and resources, houses, and what you can buy. Nation of Islam has productive people in every city. There are some of us that are not yet ripe yet. Minister Biop told us that everybody that goes to the mosque is not yet converted or activated or resurrected to the point to understand how to do for self. Get the ones that are like-minded and be successful because that's why God came, to make us successful. He ain't come to integrate us. We ain't got to do that. There are Caucasians that agree. They agree with us.
That's right.
We want to make our own community a safe and decent place to live. We're not respected as men if we just leave our communities in disrepair. We put a stage where we're going to have live concerts. We complain all the time about how the rappers don't rap. Well, I'm the majority of the South. The people who come to our park, we don't allow filth and indecency. We don't allow filthy music. So we have a live concert with music that we like to listen to. The old soul music or whatever we desire to listen to. We put a basketball court. We put on our own three tournaments. We have bocce courts. We have but we keep it private. So if you don't want to obey the rules, we don't allow you in. We have rules. The rules are in order to establish peace. And that's the way we live. But we don't ever have to worry about talking about the people who are non-productive. Be productive. And Allah will attract more and more productive people to us. I like come to the farm and to go to Savior's Day to get Sister Ann's muffin mix. Now, I'm on the Ramadan fast now, so I'm losing some weight. But that muffin mix that Sister Ann got is off the chain. It is so delicious. And my wife, she cooks it, and we love it. But what we're going to do when we build the new Black Wall Street Market in Baton Rouge, we're going to put that product, and we want other products to come. We're looking for people who might want to relocate and open a business here, who do business and do it excellent. The muffin mix, if you hadn't tried it from Sister Ann, you should try
That's
it.
Right.
It's excellent, and it's very quick. It ain't something that you'd have to spend all day and night dealing with because she has it like that. Put the Muslim products in every city. Don't be jealous and envious of each other. We don't have time for that. And then go on fact-finding missions. People who are successful or doing something that you like, don't set up a business across the street from them. Ask them to give you that kind of training that Minister Farrakhan opened up the door for the stake and take for Brother Rahman and the people in the South. Follow Farrakhan's example, and we'll be successful.
Thank you very much.
Yes,
is anybody else online?
You.
Yes, sir. Is anybody else online?
It's Brother Hoya. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak to all the separation family, Brother Kareem, Brother Louis Ali, Dr. Ridley, Sister Charlene, and Brother Darius. May Allah bless him. And we always think about our Sister Ava. This is a beautiful show. And Brother Kareem, I'm going to send you something. I got your text the other day, Brother. When I was traveling to work, I went through Birmingham. And North Alabama had over 20, a couple of days ago, more than 20 people killed up there, too, in that destruction. That was the day after that tornado. And then tomorrow we have a threat in this same area. Tomorrow they got a threat level 4 in this area. So this is a beautiful show. Minister Farrakhan, he's stated, he has established beyond the shadow of a doubt whites have absolutely no intention of ever returning their ill-gotten gains to their victims or even admitting they have evil at all. Indeed, these intrinsic, unalterable program behaviors that have brought them boundless wealth but now threaten them with total ruin. And just like you told me last week, Dr. Ridgely, they're psychopathic. Today they had another spill in Minnesota. Every day it's a spill or a barge, some kind of a catastrophe with some plant blowing up with chemicals spilling into the water supply in the major rivers, Ohio, Mississippi, every day. And I mentioned that. I thank you, Dr. Ridley, for talking about that. And Brother Lewis, I want you to expound on something. Me and you were talking the other day. And you said something very important. Now, we're looking at all of this, Allah whooping this country left and right, and everything Honorable Elijah Muhammad said is happening. It's happening at warp speed, with the fall of the dollar. They're talking about the new CBD, and everybody's getting nervous. And some of our people, we're just like I said, we're in the playground, and we're in the middle of a war. I'm thinking we're in the playground. We're talking about, sport and play and latest dance and eyelashes and pants hanging down and tennis shoes and it's sad, but that's the way we've been programmed. But this whipping gonna put us in it's gonna put us in line. But Brother Louis Ali, you said something very important. I want you to expound it. I'm gonna get you to talk about this, brother. And you said, and it was so important. You said we still gotta eat. I don't care what's going on. But you put it, the way you worded it was so beautiful, Brother Lewis. And I want you to expound on that. I'm gonna let you talk. But this is a beautiful show, Brother Kareem. I'm gonna send you some inshallah tomorrow. Keep up the good work in Mississippi, and give Brother Larry, Minister Larry, the greetings for me down there. And love y'all very much. Keep up the good work in Greenwood. I'll be coming down there to see y'all. And Brother Lewis, I know I'm coming down. The good work you're doing down there. But that throw that dirt, brother. Y'all cutting up down there. But expound on that. And Dr. Ridgely, you too, brother. You keep up the good work. All praise to you. Ramadan Mubarak, family.
Ramadan Kareem. Okay, Brother Lewis.
Thank you, beloved.
Yeah.
Thank you, beloved. Praise be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Hoyle. And thank you for hosting Dr. Ezel Muhammad in Tennessee, Memphis.
All right.
I was talking to Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and we were talking about the wheel. And he asked the question, when Moses was leaving with the children of Israel, help me out, Dr. Ridgely, if I, and the pillar of fire or the wheel was over them, when was it over them? It wasn't over them just when they were talking about separation. It was over them to separate. See,
that's right.
Sometimes I hear us talking, and we talk like God came in person to punish us with his enemies, when in fact, God came in person to separate us from his enemies and give us the opportunity to build a new reality and make a world where he would take those of us who were on the bottom and make us into the perfect rulers in the new world.
Mm.
Dr. Ridley Muhammad always talks about Minister Farrakhan being the new model man in the next dispensation of time.
Mm-hmm.
Minister Farrakhan is a model of who we're going to ultimately be if we obey Allah and obey the process that the minister obeyed. God did not come after 400 years of us having our butt kicked by our enemy to kick our behind some more. He came to deliver us. And
that's
so
right.
Sister Ava, she would constantly tell me, we're the winners, Brother Lewis.
Mm.
Or she'd say, we're the winners, beloved. She'd be so hyped up when she'd tell me that. It would make me feel hyped up and very enthusiastic. Now, the Muslims got to put on the shoes of the winner and start marching in those shoes away from our enemy and in repentance and atonement, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us not to integrate. Now, the wages of sin is death, and integration is a sin. So as long as we stay integrated, we're not a blessed people. But if we start marching like we're the winners and start marching behind Minister Farrakhan and separating, come out of the mindset and get to work in doing for self, forget about the enemy's world, and let's go build another world, start seeing the kind of success that we're supposed to have. But we get all, I guess, panicky about what's going to happen to him. We didn't do what the white man did, and we certainly didn't do what the leader of the white man's done, and I'm talking about the so-called Jews.
Mm.
We didn't do that. And so God is not here to punish us with them, except we want to be with them. And I'm going to just make it clear, I don't want to be with them. In fact, anybody that's talking about integration and being with them, I dismiss myself from your company. I can't take it because it's disgusting, because you want to make me into a degenerate. And so God is here to bless us. And if we follow Minister Farrakhan and listen to what he say in a practical application of what he taught us, we will be successful. I don't know how a Muslim can be unsuccessful except for he or she don't quite understand the teachings yet. But there are people among us who will help us in our development of understanding the teachings in a practical application of the teachings. Sister Ava Muhammad was such a beautiful and inspirational sister, and she had mastered the skill of treating you like a family member.
That's right.
And in order for us to be successful in business and in life, we have to master treating one another like family members, which means
that
we have to follow what Minister Farrakhan is not disturbed by the falling of America. Why are we?
Come on. That's right.
He believes that he's connected to the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But do we believe we're connected to him? How confident are we in the God to make us successful? See, when you believe that you're going to be successful because you're following Minister Farrakhan, certain type of doubt don't come out of our mouth.
That's right.
But I hope I said some of what we talked about, Brother Hoyle. Thank you for the question.
Very good, John. Dr. Ridley, if I may.
Yes, sir. We got Sister Cummins. Our Sister Angelita, she's coming online next. But go ahead, Brother Kareem.
Yes, sir. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said these words, and that is that if you follow me, you'd have to put a string around your finger to remember that that white man even exists.
That's right.
We give that white man too much of our time and our conversations. In the sense that there's so much that we could be doing that we should be doing in order to be successful in what the Honorable Minister Farrakhan is leading us to. And so I just encourage us all, with the LOC and our organization, we have a motto that we say, we don't go into our situation blaming our people for the circumstances by which they find themselves born into. However, we hold everybody accountable for their actions and responsible for their community. How do we hold them accountable? The Honorable Mr. Farrakhan said, tell us a story about President Roosevelt and A. Philip Randolph, and he was giving them a litany of issues that the black community was suffering. And the president told Randolph, he said, you're right. He said, but I got a couple of Southern Republicans that will not allow me to do that. You go make me do it. So how do we hold them accountable? With us, we go in and go and do what we need to do. Just like we said about this disaster training. We asked the city to help us with that disaster training. They didn't do it. We went on and trained ourselves anyway. And Allah made a tornado come through this area, and they had to call them up because the Red Cross or nobody was around. Now they are coming to us because they seen us do something for ourselves. It's ready now. These black politicians are out here. These are the same politicians that during the 90s when the minister was going through the colleges teaching on black economics and black leadership. They were in college. Now they are black leadership. Now we need to be able to be in relationship with them and show them how to allow the Nation of Islam to be at the table without recognizing the Nation of Islam, because them Jews is blocking them until we get the resources that we need, and they won't need them Jews.
That's right. Come on. Okay, we got Sister Angelina.
Sister Angelita, hailing from Los Angeles, California, where it now snows. You know, we used to sing that song,
"It
Never Rains in Southern California." Not only does it rain now, but it snows. And I heard an interesting fact. or read of it anyway, that 25 times the amount of water that's contained in the Mississippi is in these atmospheric rivers that are going over not only California, but the United States. So I don't know about you, but I believe in the reality of God and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad being God and having control of the weather. So we just going to sit back. Well, we're not going to quite sit back, but we're going to sit back and watch what color the wall going to be next, because it's getting interesting. But anyway, Assalamu alaikum, family. Happy Savior's Day. Ramadan Mubarak. It's such a joy to be on the call with you all, and I'm just so thankful to our God for Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad, a star of God, whose shoulders we stand on in these here elevated places with this great conversation of separation. My question to you, Brother Lewis, how much more integration can the black man stand?
No more. It's killing us.
That's right, brother. It is indeed killing us. I mean, because we have integrated to the point of disintegration. We have disintegrated damn near.
Come on.
Excuse my language,
come
but
on.
It's serious. That's so right. We got to pull the punches, and don't worry about my using the word damn, because this is a state of condemnation if we continue
That's
on this
right.
path.
That's right.
That's right.
So, again, I'm thankful. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, you know, the minister say some of us don't come by the word, but most of us don't come by whooping.
Come on now. Come on now. Well, I pray to be one that comes by the word, and I'll tell you a bit about what I'm doing. I am thankful for Sister Dr. Ava, though, always beating the drum of separation and independence. Mm. I mean, like no other. I mean, Minister Farrakhan put it out there, and Sister Ava picked up the baton and ran with it and beat the drum of separation. In fact, I can bear witness to having several almost that you can feel shifts in my consciousness with how I thought about separation and just being in the Nation of Islam. And it's like I can literally hear her voice saying, the Nation of Islam ain't no glee club.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own flag. We are independent nations.
Come on now.
So many things that come to mind. I can literally hear her voice speaking to us in Los Angeles, and I think it was the late 90s, and she spoke at the mosque, and she said the only difference between Beverly Hills and South Central is a mindset. And it's like, oof. All right, nuggets explode, and I have to look at myself, okay, what is my mindset? What am I doing? And so
that's right.
Man, I'm just so grateful. I wanted to say that I am, gratefully, I am a producer. And I'm so thankful for Minister Farrakhan because I changed my major after hearing him speak in, well, a long time ago. But anyway, I'm an urban farmer now because of Farrakhan. How about that? Praise
right.
be to Allah. I have praise Allah. I'm just so thankful. And when you do for self, man, I mean, believers, there's nothing better than doing for self. Why not do
That's
for
true.
Self? Why suffer the consequences when you can get up and do for yourself? I mean,
Amen.
I have been in business, thank Allah, for 5 years now, almost 5 years. In July, it'll be 5 years. And I have a niche product that I can encourage those listening and interested in doing something. I mean, it's so easy to grow microgreens. And you might think if you see them, oh, that ain't nothing. But microgreens are baby vegetable plants. And they're 40 times more nutritious than their adult counterparts. So I grow broccoli, radish, peas, onion, sunflower shoots, all kind of microgreens. And they literally have more nutrition than, and it's like just to give you a visual, if you don't know what it is and you haven't Googled it yet, it looks like maybe a sprout or something, but it takes
right.
a week to 3 weeks to grow. So you have a quick turnaround on your,
right.
You know, your time and your investment. And so
right.
the idea
wow.
was for it to fuel, you know, future endeavors, future farming endeavors specifically. And like I said, I'm in farmers markets. Or if I didn't say I'm in farmers markets, I'm currently in three. I've been in as many as six a week. In Los Angeles, we have farmers markets year-round, rain or shine. So I've been out there in this rain with my stand. Nothing stops me. And on the days that, you know, I'm feeling like I don't have too many of those days anymore, but I just wanted to say on the days when I'm feeling a little nervous about showing up because, you know, maybe my produce isn't as bountiful as I thought it should be, think it should be, I still show up. And Allah blesses
mm-hmm.
me to have just enough, you know. It's just amazing when you do for self to watch Allah work for you. He brings me the customers. I don't know where these people
that's
come
right.
from.
That's
Allah
great,
brings
sir.
Me the customers.
Right.
All I need to do is keep going. Show up.
That's, right.
that's all I need
right.
to do.
Right.
I
that's
need to right. do the work in the background, but show up. So I just wanted to encourage those of you on the edge, hemming and hawing, maybe getting in your own way, man, drop your bucket where you are and get to work. Don't wait until you have to suffer the consequences. Allah gave us a layup with this pandemic, did he not? I was able to let go of the white man's job because before the pandemic, I started my business and I was working on Saturday, Sunday for myself and Monday through Friday for my enemy. I was working 7 days a week. Allah is my witness. And it was working because when the pandemic hit and the white man let me go, Allah took me up so high, I had more markets that wanted me than I could actually participate in.
Praise be to Allah.
I'm just so thankful. We are the best if we obey our God and his messenger. We are the best, the righteous, and the powerful. And I'm praying for you, mighty nation, for us, pardon me, mighty nation of Islam. Get up and do for self. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
That was inspiring.
Praise be to Allah.
Don't listen here. You know,
you can't know God until you do for self.
Come on.
You hear me, Dr. Ridden?
I hear you.
We cannot know God until we do for self.
That's right.
740, once you finish.
Cannot know God until we do for self.
Come on.
We got a man. That's why we got a man, so that we can look at the God in the man so that he can show it. That we have it in there too. She created.
That's right.
We create appetite. And then
come on now.
The market follows the appetite, and she consistently produces a product so that she can earn enough to take care of herself and her family.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. Master Farid Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I didn't eat bean pie growing up. I didn't know what it was.
Come on.
But it's a product. It's an example of a product. And we created an appetite. The devil created the appetite for filth and indecency. We culturally can create an appetite, create a product, create a market, and then monetize the market so that we can do something mighty for ourselves.
That's
I know Sister Angelina. And watched her feel that. And I'm so proud of her. I'm so proud to see Muslims doing something for self, because every time you do that, you really give another person the inspiration to do it. Now all we got to do is collectively put it together, and we on our way, family. I'm sorry, Dr. Reed. That just gets me so fired up listening to my
praise you to Allah.
Lawaba, this is an elevated place.
Come on,
this is
now.
Elevated place. We about to take it to another level. It's time now.
What?
You know.
That's right.
You know, I like to thank the devil for COVID-19. You know what I mean? Because in the middle of back in March and April of 2020, they were there was no food on the shelf. The food was going off the shelf.
That's
because
right.
they will try to scare black folks to death. And so when they come up with the shot, they will say, you want to eat? You got to get this shot. So we, as a Ministry of Agriculture, you know, we were promoting, had been promoting since 2011, the Stable Goods Project to be ready for this type of day. We said, listen, we're not going to hide. We even went to the police and the sheriff departments in the different cities, where there was full lockdown, so that I said, "Listen, we are here to deliver food to our people.
That's
we
right.
want permission to do so because we are essential." And they were impressed. Some of our coordinators said they were really police and the sheriff department. They were impressed that we stepped to them and said, "Listen, we're going to do this," and we did it. We sent food all across the country. Track the trail a little.
That's right.
And then, it woke me and Sister Ann out. I mean, that muffin mix, boy, we had to put a lemon on it. 500, that's all we can produce right now. We had to put a lemon on it because people just it was just crazy. We had to put in a new, a whole new meal. So we got two flour meals now. We had to put another flour meal to keep up with the product. Now, what happened was, all of a sudden, food showed up at the churches.
Mm-hmm.
When Minister Farrakhan started sending beans out, and the Minister of Agriculture, Stable Goods Project, started sending beans out, and the flour out all across the country, the white man realized that he had made a mistake.
He realized that the people going to Muhammad to get something to eat. So then he opened up his old dirty pantry and gave the food, his old food, to the preachers for them to give out to the people, because Muhammad was about to take the people. This is something that I saw and lived through. Like the sister said, it takes you to step out there to see Allah and his hand, how he worked. And we worked this plan, and we had three times the volume of product that we've had before. But now the people have got a little slow now. They have got a little comfortable now. They think it's going to be, but now they're going to be, okay. They're letting you know, the CBDC, that you're going to lock you down completely. You're going to be on the house arrest with the ankle on your, that ankle bracelet on, when they come with this central bank digital currency, where everything will be controlled by the central bank. And if you get out of line like they do in China, you know what I mean, the credit score, you will not be able to use your card to get anything. And then can't get no food, then you're going to steal. And when you steal, they're going to put you in jail because they track everything with this phone. They track everything with this phone, okay? So we're going to have to now either do for self, set our own economic system. If we have to spend our own money, we might just have to do that. Because we cannot allow ourselves to be handcuffed with these cell phones and these digital currencies that can be manipulated. You saw what they did up there, what Trudeau did in Canada with the truckers. The people who tried to support the truckers, they shut their bank accounts down. Well, that's what they plan to do, put everybody underneath that house arrest with these new digital currencies they're setting up. So listen, family. We got to do for self now, or die a slave. You go die a slave. Do for self or die a slave. And this is for white folks too. And white folks are talking about separating from the country, step their own little community. Okay, getting out of the system, except their own community, getting off the grid. They're doing this. So they're doing what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to do. What Farrakhan told us to do. They are coming together and set up their own community. We have to do what we've been told to do. Now, separation or death. We got all the
separation or death.
Who is showing us how to do it, Brother Louis Ali, now the sister out there in California. And many of us now are going for self. Thank you, white man, for the mandating the vaccine so people have to quit. Thank you, white man. You're an idiot. Praise be to Allah.
Thank you, Dr. Reed, the same thing happened in the 1860s. As I was saying, in 1866, 1867, we were trying to do something for ourselves. And right after they realized that was happening, they began to allow black politicians to get into office. They had the first black senator out of Mississippi. And so by 1869, when you look at the immigration records, you see that we start slowing down and thinking like that. And we start thinking that the white man was going to really do something for us. And so by 1875, 1876, he started changing his face again. And by 1877, he showed his ugly face all over again. But that is when Allah gave us Master Farrakhan Muhammad. And everything began to change from that perspective. And we start again trying to do something for ourselves. And that's why by 1910, we had those cities all over this country. We had, as you said, over 15 million acres of land. The churches and the auxiliary organizations had millions and millions of dollars circulating within their own community, the Churchills and the Terrells and all of those organizations. And the individuals was working collectively to do something for themselves, but something again happened, and that's again what we got to study so we won't be tricked one more time.
Thank you. Well, that one of the things that happened is that the Jews set up the KKK again. That's what they did behind that movie, Birth of a Nation, 1915.
Birth of a Nation.
They set up the KKK across the country, and every time the KKK was set up across the country, they started a burn down. You know, the 1919 was the great, Red Summer? Well, that was nothing but the KKK that was set up by the Jews, that started these wars against the black community all across the country. So if anybody
right.
else on the line, call in. Sister Rona, do we have anybody else? Anybody else? Well, I'd like to thank Sister Angelita. That was such an inspiration. Now, you know, those microgreens, you know, that they call them, sprouts, you know what I mean? And I know Will Allen, that's how he made his money up there in Milwaukee, was really bean sprouts. You know, that's something you can do in a very small area. But it didn't.
That's right.
But you got to have the right market. You know, people don't even know what it is. You know, out there in California, you know, people get a little hip, so they know what that type of how nutritious that is. So they down with that. But again, you got to find a niche market. You know, for what you're going to produce. You have to find something that people want, and you know that they want, not just what they need, okay, but what they want. Now, see, I know black folks will get whatever they want. They might not get what they need, but they'll get what they want. So if you find out what black folks want, they'll pay for it. You know, I'm going to tell you this. He said they made a mistake when they made the vaccine free. And because black folks say, white folks ain't never gave black folks nothing good that's free. So he said what you should have did, you should have charged $10,000 for it. You should have charged them $10,000 for it. Then they'd be walking around talking about, you know, I got a 2 shots and a boost. I got $30,000 in me. I feel good. You got your shot yet? You broke blank nigga. You ain't got no shot. You broke blank nigga. So what I'm saying is that black folks, so he said black folks will get whatever they want. So find out what black folks want, and then you go to work. I tell people about, you know, okay, so you grow you some peace trees, for instance. Okay. So first what you do is you go get some peaches from the market from another farmer, and you start producing the best peach pie. Of course, you're going to use Muhammad Farms whole wheat flour for the crust. But anyhow, you start producing the best peach pie. And then as your trees grow, your business grows. Everybody wants your peach pie. And then after 5, 6, 7 years, when your trees are bringing in peaches, you ain't got to worry about where you're going to sell the peaches, because you're going to put the peaches in your peach pie. So now you're going to control everything from the land all the way to the man. And that's how you make money, okay?
That's right.
So you got to control everything from the land all the way to the man with no – you can produce that you can change value added, get it ready for the final consumer. Because one thing about our black folks, you know, that's why we must stand muffin mix does so great, because it's so quick. It's so easy, and it comes out right. Every time. So you gotta make products like that. Okay? So
that's
it's easy,
right.
It's quick, and it works every time. Because we don't want to make no mistakes, even though you make mistakes with your life all the time. But for products of life, it's got to be on the money. It's got to be on the money, hard on the money. So when you come with something like that, you're going to have a market. All right? And then we begin
right.
to do trade and commerce. Like Minister Ava said, each area needs to specialize in something. So when the truck leaves from the farm, it goes in one direction. It got to come back with something.
That's right.
Come
that's
back
right.
empty because ain't nobody producing nothing. Now with the staple,
that's
the
right.
staple goods project, Brother Gerald, he produces his bean soup, his freeze dried bean soup. So what he does, he brings his bean soup to the farm to go in with the other products, and then we send back the product for cities going back in his direction as it goes back. So he's going back. He's making money going one way. He's making money going the other way. All right? So we got to start producing products and start working together in terms of distribution so that we don't go around because of deadhead with the, you know,
that's
you
right.
go in one direction, and then you got to come back and put all that gas money and tire wear going back, producing what? You know, who's producing what? So that we can now begin to set a distribution, you know, so that a truck can go and pick up something from one city and drop something off in another city and pick something up there, and therefore the truck is moving and is making money and not just going deadhead paying gasoline, high prices for gasoline.
That's right.
So we got to have more activity. That's why I said productivity. Productivity. If we're producing something, then we can trade something. Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "Produce what you need, and then sell the surplus. Sell the surplus. Produce what you need and sell the surplus. But it starts off with production. I mean, we need shoes. We need clothes. I mean, everybody walking around in Nikes now. You know, we need to get back to have some real, man, some sandals, man. Start something that you can produce. What about house shoes? A little simple house shoes.
Right.
I mean, if people walk around, I hate to see it. Hey, sister, walking around, house shoes on. You know what I mean? Go to the store, house shoes on. I mean, it's ridiculous. But hey, look, if they want house shoes, man, we need to make them some house shoes. You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
And but you know, make them some house shoes, man. You see what they want. Well, let's get them what they want as long as it's not conflict with our religion. I mean, we can't set up no pole skin, nothing like that. But we can find something that they want that we can produce, and we can go make that money. Then we make that money, that means we can hire more people. Next thing you know, we have a community. We have a number of people, like a brother did in Concord, North Carolina in 1901. This brother, he built a textile mill in Concord, North Carolina. He built it with his own hand, and he built 150 homes for his workers. Okay, this is what
Henry
Ford did a thing up there in Detroit. A black man did that. So we can
That's
do
right.
that. Again, a community is always based about some type of productivity. You got to be producing something. Okay? So now.
Hot to Molly Heaven.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tell them about
the hot, like Hot to Molly Heaven.
Tell them about the Hot to Molly out there in Mississippi. Your brother being Greenville.
He laid out
a heavy savings day gift every year because he's making that money of them Hot to Molly.
And not only that, his whole family. I tell him that he put me in the mind of Bonanza, Ben Cartwright. He, Ben Cartwright, and his three sons, his horse, Michael and Little John, Adam and Little John. He got three sons, and all of them is in the Hot Tamale business. They got restaurants. They got vendors throughout Mississippi. All of them are independent.
Right.
And like he said, those one of the largest contributed to Savior's Day every year. And he is the one that said throughout the nation, feed the prophet first, because that is what he believes in. And he believes is that whatever he gives, whatever he gets, he's going to give it back to the Honorable Minister Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam. And because of it, he feels that way, having a manufacturing company. His story is so profound as to how him and his wife started. He's a believer.
Right.
If you can believe it, you can achieve it. And he takes
Absolutely.
It. He has a manufacturing company. Right. I'm not just
That's
talking
right.
about a store. He has a manufacturing
right.
Hot Tamales. They don't just sell Hot Tamales. They produce
right.
and manufacture and got one of the largest employers of black people in this city.
That's right.
Right. I've been
That's
there.
Right.
Been there.
I've been there too.
It's amazing. It's amazing. But that's what we can do. Just put your mind to it and you're behind. In other words, it ain't nothing. Ideas ain't worth nothing unless you have a human man and you have some capital that's going to work. Okay? And then you have an idea, then they say, you know, somebody else that stole your idea, then you get all upset. You didn't do nothing with the idea. That was your idea. That was Allah's idea. He gave you. All right, then what you do with it? You didn't do nothing with it. Somebody got to do it. Somebody go do it. So if you think about it, don't think about it unless you go do it. Don't tell me about it unless you go do it. Tell me how you even got it started. How you even got it started didn't talk to me. I tell people in a minute. Read my book on farming. Then ask me some questions. Try something. I tell people that farmers don't like to spend time with people who ain't trying nothing. But if you try something, a farmer will help you. I will help you. But you got to be working. You got to show an example of what you want to do. And we don't have a few minutes left. So I'm going to give Brother Lewis, I'm going to give you the last word, brother. What, Close it out. Close it out.
This has been a very inspiring show. But I think that I hope we go away with remembering something. Ava would make one and I would make one. She would always say we're the winners.
Mm.
And I would always say you're the best, Dr. Ava. You're the best. The Muslims are the best.
That's right.
And we got to really start acting like we're the best. What Sister Angelita called in and said tonight about the microgreens and how she perfected growing them and then built up to 6 different markets. And what Brother Kareem is saying about Brother Willie down in the Delta of Mississippi with a
mm-hmm.
warehouse manufacturing hot tamales. He started out with a little wagon and a little light. And he just, in the words of Bill Allen, when you do one good, if you can cook one hot tamale good, and you cook two, or you cook one bean pie, you cook two, and you keep revolving around, you take some of the money that you make and reinvest in your business over and over again, your busyness, and never be idle, because idleness
That's
is a sin. And then start sharing intelligence with one another. Travel in the cities and look at what Dr. Ridgely is doing down there at the farm. Come and see what different people are doing in order to help you enhance your city. And all the Muslims are going to start asking each other, how close do we live to another Muslim, and what product does our city produce? And
that's
that
right.
The conversation
right.
that we should be having
that's right.
constantly with each
that's
other.
Right.
This is what we do.
That's right.
Try our best to get our women off the devil's jobs. And let's
That's right.
to get our children out of their schools. And as brothers, let's become the providers, the managers of our own affairs with our God and our Savior who came in person. And let's rally and hurl truth and falsehood like never before in defending the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Last point. If they could kill that man, if they killed all men, because we can't be a man without a model of what a man looks like. And so it ain't just Minister Farrakhan that they're after. They don't want us to become men because they don't want us to produce to control markets
okay.
in competition
That's
to
right.
them. They want us to be their slaves. Thank you for having
That's
me
right.
in Elevated Places. May Allah bless us all
yes,
with
sir.
A successful Ramadan. Happy Ramadan. Blessed
yes,
Ramadan.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother
yes,
Darius
sir.
And family, for having this show. Assalamu alaikum.
And we'd like to say, make sure you go to noimoa.org, and sign your local coordinator by which you can order for the Staples Building Project. We open until April 9th. We'll be taking orders until April 9th. So go there. And while you're on the computer, go to MinisterAvaMuhammad.com, MinisterAvaMuhammad.com, and get some of her books and her videos, study so you can grow yourself into being a God. And then we'll see you, inshallah, next week on Elevated Places, same channel, same time. And may Allah bless all of you. Thank you so much, Brother Darius, for giving me the opportunity to host the program tonight. And may Allah bless your family. And bless all the believers. And honorable minister.
The Muslims are the best.
The Muslims are the best. Hey, salam alaikum.
The Muslims are the best.
Wa alaikum salam.
Muslims are the best.